Never went to college. My dad wanted me to go to the University of Rochester. He said he would pay for it, and they had a thing there. My stepmom worked there, so I could get a discount. Never did that. As a kid, wanted to be a police officer. Thought it was cool because you get to drive fast and carry a gun. What kid doesn't want to do that? And as I grew up, I wanted to, was looking at computers or something like that, and then I was interested in architecture. I like was really thinking about being an architect, and was taking some design classes. And then my 10th grade summer, the Lord got a hold of my heart about serving Him. So that just all kind of didn't mean anything anymore. Went to my junior or senior year. I took a Bible Institute course over at First Bible Baptist Church, graduated from high school. I went full-time into the Bible Institute. There would be a Sunday night class. I would take two classes Monday night, starting at 6 till 10. Those are two-hour classes. And then Tuesday night, two classes from 6 to 10. And then Wednesday before church was Greek class. And we took Greek for 2 years, four semesters of that. Then came here, went 4 years. You say, why are you saying all that? I'm saying that I don't know a lot. I don't know, as I learned today, how electricity works. Almost blew my kitchen up. I don't know how plumbing works, as I've almost flooded my basement before. I don't know how vehicles work, as I drive a truck with a tube hanging out from the bottom. I don't know. I don't know that stuff. There's a lot of things I don't know, but I know this. I know the principles of the Word of God are true and can never be compromised. And no matter the name on the person, no matter the circumstance in the life, there's no exception to the Word of God. It is perfect and pure, without error, and it doesn't care who you are or how much money you have or where you went to school. It is truth. I know that. And I just see some of our young people listening to the ways of the world and being deceived by the ways of the world, and it's just tough sometimes to listen to it all. It's tough to see young people that you care so much for just kind of put the principles of the Word of God off to the side and say, I know what I'm doing. Again, I don't know a lot, but I know this thing is true. John chapter 21 tonight. John chapter 21 and verse 1. It starts with what our story is going to be about tonight. John 21 verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed He Himself. And here's the story. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana and Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of His disciples. So we have Simon and Thomas, Nathanael and the two sons of thunder there and two other disciples. I think that's seven. And there they were, and what were they doing? Well, the Bible says in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. He says, I'm going back to the boat. In Matthew chapter 4, go to Matthew. Hold your hand in John 21. Go to Matthew chapter 4. That's where Christ found him, you know. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's not the only fisherman he calls. In verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee. So James and John are fishing with their dad, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. See, to follow the Lord, they had to leave something. Following God takes sacrifice. You're going to have to give some things up. You're going to have to take an old life or even some will and ambitions and desires and kind of put those things aside because God called you. Hey, you can't serve the world and God at the same time. For you'll either hate the one or, right? We know the verses. So where does he find him? John chapter 21, what have we been through? Well, Christ has gone through all the miracles. He's been crucified. He's risen again. He's shown himself two times already to the disciples. We're past the part Thomas has placed his hands inside the hands of Christ. He's taken his hand, he's put it in the pierced side of Christ already. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verse 10. We'll look at two verses in Matthew 28, then go back to John chapter 21. Matthew 10, 28. Nope. Matthew 28, 10 says, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Look at verse 16. And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Where should they have been? They should have been in the mountain waiting for Jesus. Where were they? I go fishing. They should have been in Galilee waiting, but instead they're in the Sea of Tiberias. Ever wander from the things of God? Well, God takes it personally upon himself to come interact with them. In verse 3, it says, John 21, back to John 21, in verse 3. It says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Why would they do that? Where were they supposed to be? They're supposed to be in Galilee, up in a mountain, waiting for Christ. And Peter, having doubts and concerns, even after seeing the resurrected Christ, doesn't make sense of it all. And what does he say? I'm going to go back to what I made my livelihood in. I'm going to go try that again. Now he finds himself in the boat. And you know what? He took six others with him. You know, sometimes our decisions have negative repercussions to others. Hey, I'm going to go out drinking. You want to come? Yeah. And immediately. Hey, I'm going to go and get involved in this sin. You want to come? They were easily influenced. All of these saw all the miracles of Christ. All of these heard all the preaching of Christ. Judas isn't in this group anymore. He's dead. Hey, when you're doubting and struggling, can I help you? Don't make major decisions. When you know you're sideways with the things of God, don't go out and start making life decisions. That's not going to go well. And that's what these were doing. They weren't where they should have been. John chapter 21 and verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So there they are. They're about 300 feet from offshore. That's about 100 yards. And there's a man standing on the shore because they're fishing all night. As the day arises, here's Jesus standing there. In verse 5, I love this. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, Hey, kids. Have you any meat? And they answered him, no. Did Jesus not know that they didn't catch anything all night? Oh, he knew. He just wanted them to say it. Hey! Hey, Christian, how's your life going away from me? Hey! Hey! How's that going over there? It's awful. Yeah, I know. He asked a question he already knew. Why? Because they failed to be able to provide for themselves. It revealed their... Do you understand that we have to reveal our weakness before he can exhibit his strength? He's not going to fight you. He's gonna just let it wait out. He didn't go out in the middle of the night, did he? He waited till morning. Till they were disheartened and failed. He says, are you ready? Verse 6. And he said unto them, now, do they know it's Jesus at this point? No, they don't. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I was telling our class last night, I'm no fisherman. But if I was in the Sea of Tiberias and I was fishing all night, and I was throwing out a net and pulling back nothing all night, doesn't matter what side of the boat you're fishing on. It's all the same water. And Jesus says, toss it on the right side. Surprisingly, they listened. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, who's that? John. Saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. If you know anything about Peter, Peter was the immediate response man. Here they come to take Jesus, and what does he do? Sword comes out, guy's ear is cut off. That's him. I need to baptize or wash your feet. Oh, you're not washing my feet. If I don't wash your feet, I'm not going to get glory. Then wash my whole body. Isn't that? That's Peter. Peter is action immediately. Hey, that's Jesus on shore. What does he do? He grabs his coat because he's naked and he casts himself into the sea. Verse 8. And he goes swimming to him. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. They said, we're going to row. For they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, again 300 feet, dragging the net with fishes. They had some fish to bring in. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon and bread. See, Jesus says, cast the net into the right side of the boat. That makes no sense. We've been fishing all night. Left side, right side, front side, back side, it doesn't matter. There's no fish in this lake, in the sea. I was at. We had some fishermen in class last night, and I asked the question, hey, have you ever gone fishing and not caught anything? Yes. And what do? We blame the fish. The fish just aren't here tonight. They're just not biting tonight. The problem is not with us. The problem is with the fish. And Jesus said, cast it in. And because they did what he said, they were blessed. Do you know every time you obey God, there will be a direct blessing in your life? Psalm chapter 19 and verse 11 says that as we follow His commandments, there is a reward. God rewards those that obey Him. Obedience brought a reward. It was a strange command coming from a stranger, but they listened. And here we have passionate Peter jumping in the water. And as soon as they were come, the Bible says in verse 9, to land they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, he didn't even need their fish. You see that? He had fish and... Jesus is really good at making fish and bread. He can do it. We've seen it. He fed 5,000 with fish and bread, right? And then another 4,000 with fish and bread. He's got no problem making fish and bread. But there they come in. Jesus saith unto him, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of fishes. Look at how many, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. We tried to calculate that 153 fish. We figured, I figured, I don't know what the average weight of a, because it says good fish, great fish. These weren't little minnows. These were edible fish. It says in verse 11, the net to the land full of great fishes. So say they were small, maybe 3 pounds, 600 pounds, 4 pounds. That's 600. How about 5 pounds? Another 750 pounds. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of fish. And yet the net didn't break? How's that possible? Well, God got involved. Do you know how many? They had to wait till they got to shore to be able to count them all. To which I asked the question, say they would have stopped halfway and said, hey, let's count these things. Hey, I think there's 50 fish in there. That is plenty for us. 100 fish. Stop fishing. We can't take any more. They didn't do that. See, I think we'll miss out on some blessings in our life if we start counting things instead of just doing what we're told. Hey, let me retell you all the great things I've done. How about we just hold that until heaven and we just serve Jesus till he comes back? The harvest of the fish. You know, Jesus told them he was going to make them something. When he said, come follow me, remember in Matthew 4:19, when he saw Peter and Andrew, he says, come, follow me, and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Here they're catching fish. He had a different plan for their life. In verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. That's where we get our song, right? The hymn. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou? No question anymore. Knowing that it was the Lord. Ever see the Lord work in your life and you're like, that's God working in my life. And I don't have to ask him, God, was that you? Oh, we know. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Third time. I'd like to take you back to John chapter 21 and verse 3. John 21 and verse 3, it says this, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. You know, sometimes our Christian life feels as though we are toiling on the seas of life. I want to draw four quick points out of this one verse here. I want you to, number one, recognize that without Christ, we can do nothing. They toiled all night, and they caught nothing. Oh, sure, they worked. Hey, we spend our time on things, but apart from Christ, it doesn't mean anything. We're wasting our time. They worked all night and caught nothing. John 15:5 says, without me, you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13, Paul is talking and he says, you know, I've had a lot and there's some struggles with having a lot. You know, if I had an endless supply of money, well, there's some difficulty in that. What is it? I don't need God. I can buy my way out of anything. There's some difficulty in that. And he says, Paul says, and I've been abased. I haven't had anything. There's some difficulty with that. And get downtrodden and say, what can I do? I got no resources. But what does he say? The next verse, Philippians 4:13. Whether I'm abased or I am in abundance, with Christ I can do all things. Hey, remember in your life, without Christ, we can do nothing. Remember that we could spend a lot of time working, but without Christ, there's no value. Point number two, the Lord must direct us. He says, cast the net on the right side. That makes no sense. But John chapter 16 and verse 13 tells us this. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's what God does. He guides us into all truth. The Lord must direct us. You know, sometimes I come up with ideas. Not a lot of ideas. I'm just trying to handle the things I have. But, man, my ideas don't benefit me in any way. God's ideas help me. And if we think for a moment that our life is better because we can orchestrate it and run it, well, we're going to be like these fishermen in the boat with nothing to show for it. The Lord's got to direct us. The Lord's got to guide us. Even as crazy as it may sound, hey, throw it on the right side. Are you kidding me? The water on the right side is the same as the water on the left. If there was a net large enough to carry 600, 750 pounds of fish, you think it makes a difference if it's on the right side or left side? That net's going underneath that ship. That's a big net. That's not like Hudson trying to catch crayfish with the little thing at from Walmart. This is a big net. The boat they were in had two boats. There was a second boat that would run from the big boat in. These are real fishermen. Right side of the boat. It's the same as the left side of the boat. But they did it. They did it, and the Lord directed them. Hey, what's the Lord telling you? Cast your net on the right side. I've already done that. Do it now. With God, timing is everything. Obedience. In Mark chapter 4, Nathan and I were talking a little bit about this. Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. It says in, this is the parable of the sower. I just want to draw your attention to one verse. Our first point, without Christ we can do nothing. Second point is, the Lord must direct us. Third point is, obedience brings about much fruit. Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. What is that? That's obedience to God's word. Bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, some 150 and 3-fold. Obedience. Obedience to God. What is it that God is talking to your heart about? What is it that He's leading you in? What has He told you that maybe you haven't listened to? Obedience. Our last point. Go back to John chapter 21 and verse 3. Actually, look at verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. When all labors for the Lord are complete, what does He do? He invites us to come and dine. If we look at Revelation chapter 19. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse 7. Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. That's you and I. and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Hey, there's something waiting for us. When we're all done with this life, there's something waiting, an opportunity to sit and fellowship with God. To come and dine. You know, Peter wasn't where he should have been. Neither were the other six guys in the boat. And Jesus could have said, you know what? Forget them. This is the third time I would have showed myself. I've already showed my glorified, risen body to them twice. They've put their hands in my hands. They see it's all true. And yet, they're still in the boat. And yet, the next commandment I told them to do, go to Galilee, up on the mountain, wait for me. And yet, they're not there. And what does he do? Goes over to the shore and just waits till they're done. And he calls them over and says, Come. Come on. Let's try this again. What happens next in John chapter 21 is some of the most gracious actions of God towards man that we have revelation of. He sends Peter out, gives him another chance. How many times has God given us a second chance? Where he said, go here, we went there, he went over here, encouraged us, brought us back over to here, and then fellowshiped with us. And God's good to us. And then in the stormy seas of life, as we bounce around here, can I remind you, that God is gracious, and God is good to us, and He blesses obedience, and that without Christ we can do nothing, and that He leads us and guides us, and we can't think for a second that we got it all figured out. We just need to rely on the Lord, and He'll help us through the whole thing. And when it's all said and done, there'll be sweet fellowship one with another, and we will be glad we obeyed Him. Let's all stand tonight. This Sunday, we're again having our friend day. If I could encourage you to invite somebody to church. No, we want not just to fill the place, but we want to see people that maybe we've been praying for and working on, that maybe hear the gospel for the first time, or maybe get watered a little bit, right? God is good to us, and that He would even allow us to serve Him is a blessing. And we were talking in class last night. I can't save anybody, but I certainly can introduce them to the one who can. Isn't that a blessing? And someone did that for me, and I am thankful. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your word. And Lord, I pray You'd help us. Lord, help us to live examples of what it means to be a follower of Christ. May we encourage one another.